In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part series on mindfulness, meditation, and breath work with Antoinette. We are so excited to have you back and dive right in, where we are going to get some additional tools and resources as we explore quantum physics, the electromagnetic field, and understanding why we need to embrace our higher vibrational emotions. We hope that you enjoy. You actually touched on two pieces, because you've mentioned three key areas that you focus on, and that is the meditation, the mindfulness, and the breath work. So you actually touched on two of the three that I wanted us to really dive into. Bringing it out of the energetic space, what comes to mind for me is when you have conversations, and I've had this conversation with quite a few people over the last couple of months, and they say, well, you know, I'm just too old to change now. I've done this my entire life. I really don't want to change, because how much life do I have left? And so what now, my whole new perspective is, you're living in the past and the future, right? Like, you're looking at what you've done your entire life and how much life you have left. And is it worth the change right now?
And not in this present moment
Not in the present. Not at all.
And it is so worth it when people say that, but I started making these changes in my mid-50s. So I don't accept that as your age as anything.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many times that comes up.
It does a lot.
I'm sure it does. You know, and I'm not going to judge if people are happy living in their past, then that's where you want to be. That's fine. So people don't realize that 95% of what they're doing is based on their past experiences, because you can't concentrate on everything that's going on. So your subconscious is going to does so much for you, not just drives for you.
Exactly. It gets you home on autopilot as well. Yes, that is one of the things. But it truly is working to protect you and keep you safe and save you time. I always like to remind people of that. Your subconscious brain is working to save you time.
The statistic there, after the age of 35, 95%, you're running on your subconscious mind. I think that's really an interesting thing for people to remember, because when we get triggered by things, it's because we're living in that subconscious mind of all the experiences we've had. And so the breath work to put us in the present moment. And I love the journaling, because now what we're doing is we're identifying triggers and patterns to what our behavior is and how we respond to it. I think that's really interesting. I wanted to ask you a question, because during the pandemic, we had a Wim Hof instructor come virtually to our company every Friday, and we would do these breathing exercises. And so we would be at home, we would lie on the floor on a mat, and we would do those deep belly breaths. I got freezing when I was doing that. Like, physically, my body got completely cold. Is there a science behind that? Do you know what causes that? And they said that that might happen. I ended up, like, when I would do it, I would have socks on, sweatpants, sweatshirt, and like five blankets on top of me. And I would still be cold.
Wow.
It was such a weird sensation. And so I didn't know if there was, if you know what causes that when we're doing that.
I don't know scientifically what or biologically what's causing it. I can make educated guess for you if you want me to.
Yes. So, I would love an educated guess.
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll do asterisk. This is Antoinette's educated guess. Here, there you go.
Yes. Look it up on your own.
Yes.
So my educated guess is that you live a lot in stress, and in stress, your blood pressure is high, you're flowing more oxygen, your body's going to be more heated because of that. Yes. And so I'm thinking that when you did the breath work and you started slowing things down and actually getting them to where they should be, you started getting colder, but your body was so not used to it that it was colder than even, you know.
Wow.
So it's more of that swinging of the pendulum, I think, to help you get back into the middle.
Yeah. So I would assume if I did it on kind of more of a regular basis, I probably wouldn't have had that big switch. So that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
But that's good because it shows that you can turn on your parasympathetic.
So, there it is.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So, Antoinette, in those 90 seconds, I call those the magical 90 seconds, those moments that we pause, which it always blows my mind that it really comes down to like these small moments, 2 to 3 times a day where we take the time to pause. Is that where our pendulum is really becoming centered within those 90 seconds while you're doing the breathing exercises?
So the whole thing is to bring you back into that homeostasis point in that 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you're swinging that pendulum and to help you come back. Now, it depends upon how stressed you allowed yourself to get. So if you got in complete fight or flight and you were already in a screaming mode, then it could take 10 minutes in parasympathetic to bring you back to center. So like a deer that's getting chased, it takes them 10 minutes to get themselves back to homeostasis.
Okay.
So
when...
Well, I had the visual on the deer. That's exactly where I went. I was thinking, if I'm the deer that's getting chased by the bear, it's not that you can just stop running because the bear is not chasing you anymore. Yeah. And then you're back to homeostasis. 10 minutes is what if we're truly fight, flight, or freeze. Yeah.
So a deer that's running, that's in fight or flight, and once they're safe, that's when their parasympathetic side turns on. So once they know they're safe, the parasympathetic turns on, but they've been so far over to the sympathetic that it'll take 10 minutes in parasympathetic to bring them back to center.
Are there signs that you teach people to be aware of so that they're not in such a stress state that it does take them a lot longer to come down from that? Are there specific things that we can be aware of in our body and how we're feeling so that we know that, ooh, I think I might be getting, I know you said journaling about the triggers, but are there also some physical signs that we might be aware of?
So a lot of people have heart palpitations. I mean, it depends upon how stressed you're getting in the moment. But when I have them journal, I do ask, what were you physically feeling at that moment as well? So that you can start knowing, because everyone's individualized on what they're going to feel. So I don't know how to generalize it. I'd have to maybe look back at notes that I take on my clients and to see if there's a general thing. But if you start feeling jittery, or one thing, at least for me, because I go into freeze mode when I'm stressed out. So the minute I can sense that I'm not thinking anymore, I need to take a pause. So that's one of my biggest things. If you're more one of those people that's going to be like, you know what, I'm out of here, then you're in flight mode.
Yes.
Your thing that you're doing. So the minute you start feeling like you're going to put your hand up and walk away, but it's that your breath would be more shallow, your heart would be racing more, your vision actually sharpens. I don't know that people would be paying attention to that, but it's sort of that heart racing that you would start feeling, the shallow breathing.
Well, yeah. And I imagine the journaling to start to identify some of those triggers will help us identify when we're not journaling, but identify outside of it. Oh, you know what? I know that I will get stressed out when I'm flying. I was traveling last week. I had to teach a class and I had to cut out of the class 30 minutes early. So somebody was going to take it from me. My flight left within 2 hours and it's an hour drive to the airport. And I knew that when I landed, I had to get an Uber, get to my hotel, get changed to get to an event at 6. So I had all of these things and I'm always early to things. So I was like, this is going to be the most stressful day ever. And the funny thing is because I went into it with that, I was like, you know what? What's the worst thing that happened? And it was the smoothest day ever. There was no stress. I made it to everything. And I was like, oh, well, this was kind of nice. But I almost like had to mentally prepare myself because I knew it's typically really a stressful situation for me. So I love that. I love the breathing.
Well, the breath work, the mindfulness, those are two. What tips do you have for meditation if that's not someone's jam? And I hear that quite a bit, right? It's, well, I'd love to meditate. I can't ever silence my brain though. What are your tips for us and the listeners when we're talking about meditation? What do you like to take your clients through, or what tips do you typically give them?
So the one thing, the reason why I do the emotions first is because the emotions actually have the ability to bring you into resilience and into coherence a lot faster. So managing those emotions is always the first thing that I work on with people. And the reason why I work on mindfulness with people is to know how to manage those thoughts that are coming in during meditation. So people have this illusion that you need to stop your thoughts. You can't. Your mind has 70,000 thoughts in a day. So you really can't stop it, but you don't want it to drag you down a rabbit hole. You don't want it to trigger a feeling. And so it's the practice of being able to manage your emotions and being able to manage your thoughts are the two things that you need before you even start meditation. So one thing that I teach people when it comes to mindfulness is A thought is just a thought, just like a feeling is just a feeling. And think of it as a train that is kind of just came into the station, right? You can either let that train sit there with that thought and drag you down a rabbit hole, or you can let it float on by. So thoughts aren't good. They're not bad. They just are what they are. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's being able to let go of that thought and not let it do it. And what we do is we use the breath as an anchor point. So let's say you do have a thought that's sitting there for a while. You do the breath work. So if you are meditating and you have a thought that comes in that's not leaving the station, you start concentrating on your breath. Once you start concentrating on your breath, that thought will most likely leave the station. So you need to do something else, and that's the breath work. And that's it. Breath work is so important when it comes to meditation.
I think that that's really interesting that you said that you take them through the emotions and the mindfulness first before meditation, because I think we often are like, just meditate. And so we're really not giving people the tools to be able to meditate. Yeah. Natalie knows this story. I had a friend who gave me a gift certificate to a float. And a float is where you get in these pods with really dense salt water. And so your whole body floats. And it was for a 90-minute session. It was the most miserable 90 minutes of my life. I felt like I was in there for 5 months. And then I started like pushing myself off of one wall, pushing myself off another. And then I would blink, but I thought the lights were blinking, which meant it was almost over. And then I get excited and then it wasn't. I'm like, what if there's a fire and I'm stuck in? It was the most horrible experience of my life.
Yes.
But what I realized now looking back is I needed to start with the emotions and the mindfulness first before I jumped into a 90-minute meditation. 90 minutes of being.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I start people with 3-minute meditations.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you don't want to get discouraged by those thoughts. So let's get you there for 3 minutes. And I have biofeedback devices that tell me that you're entered the right brain frequency for that meditation. And I know that you've hit it. And once I know that you've hit it, we'll see how long you stay there. And let's say you only stay there for a minute and a half. That's okay. Next time we're going to look for a minute and 3/4, right? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
So baby steps.
Okay. I wish I had known that before I did this float experience.
90 minutes seems like forever. Absolutely. It does.
Oh my gosh. No, whenever you're going, I mean, meditation, an hour meditation would be considered an expert.
Exactly.
So a 90 minutes in a tube by yourself.
And I was so discouraged because people were coming out and they're like, oh my gosh, I actually fell asleep. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a 90 minute nap. No, exactly.
So, yeah. I love myself. I don't know if I want to have that 90 minutes with myself though. So that's a big piece. Antoinette, I love the analogy of the train and the station, and something that I've found helpful for me. Now, again, this is the asterisk. I am not a trained health practitioner in any way, shape or form, just in my own practice. When I've been in meditation and I've found those thoughts that enter, that hang around a little bit longer. And this completely makes sense now. I actually go back to a place of gratitude. Like I thank my subconscious brain for that. I'm like, thank you for that. I'm going to table it for the next 15 minutes while I finish this meditation. Right. So it's I understand that's important, but we're going to table it for 15 minutes. So I don't ignore it or suppress it, but I go back into that gratitude state to say, thank you. Let's move on.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That's so perfect. The one thing you don't want to do is fight against the thought because it'll stay in the station.
100%. The train is not moving.
If you're gonna fight it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, Antoinette, you understand completely the mission and vision for our podcast, right? We often come on, and that's our focus, is coming on and talking to our listeners about different adversities that they face in life and building up that resiliency. And you have discovered and are offering this fabulous, I'm going to call them, menu of services in terms of tools and modalities that people can use to develop and have additional resiliency. When we're talking about resiliency, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners? If it's your own personal experience or a practice that you have that you'd like to leave us with that we haven't touched on today, because we'd love to hear it. I have a ton of notes and ahas already.
Oh my gosh,
love to hear anything else that you'd like to share with us.
Well, the one thing that we haven't really touched on at all, and it's kind of a passion of mine, is quantum physics and how that applies to health.
Yes, let's do that. Let's go there, please.
Yes, you want to do that?
Yeah. So I would love to.
Okay. Because one of the things that I do with people in meditation is I help them to understand the different brain waves, because the different brain waves are getting you into different levels of meditation. And the gamma brain wave is the one that's going to take you to the quantum field of possibilities. So what's key there is a principle in quantum physics that's called the observer effect. I don't know if you've ever heard of the observer effect.
No.
Have you ever? So this is really cool. The observer effect says that what we observe is what we create. And the when it's not being observed, it's a waveform. Okay. And so, and there's actually experiments out there showing that when they have sent a particle, just like an electron, through a slit, and they were expecting it to hit the back wall at a certain point, it didn't, because it was in waveform and it actually dispersed onto the back form, even though it came out as one particle and it dispersed on. So what they did was they put a camera on it, so they could see which slit it came out of and how that happened. As soon as they put the camera on it, it stayed as a particle. It never went to waveform. And so what this whole double split experiment showed us is that what we put our attention to is what's coming to us. So when one of the key things in health is that a lot of times when you go to the doctor, you're filling out a form, an intake form that's talking about all the disease, talking about all the things that are going wrong with you. Well, that's what you're observing. Okay. And it's not that I don't want to know what's going on with your life, but I want to know what your health goals are, because that's what I want us to observe together is your health potential. And let's concentrate on that health potential, and all this other stuff can actually go away with the knowledge that we have of quantum physics and with being able to get out to the quantum field of possibilities and observe ourselves as healthy and bringing that back to us in you know, this current time and place that we're in. And we already talked about non-locality and entanglement, which is really key because it means we're all connected. And I think people today really need to understand that a lot better, that we are all connected. So when I say something bad or not so nice to somebody else, I'm not just hurting them, I'm hurting myself, because we're all connected. And so that is something that is really, we need to work on that more. But the other thing that is with quantum physics, it's called the tangled hierarchy. And this is where a particle makes an atom, makes a molecule, makes a cell, makes the body, and then consciousness, right? When I talk about consciousness, it could be God, it could be however you want to refer to it. Right. But in a lot of times today, we try and heal from the body up. And it's not going to work that way. We have to reach consciousness. We have to reach where our health really is at. Because in this physical body, if we're not having health, all we're doing is masking it. We're trying all this body stuff, but we need to get to consciousness. And actually, what people don't realize is that quantum physics is a very spiritual experience. So one of the things that I do want to bring up is that I do work with spiritually minded people. I can work with people that don't believe in spirit, that don't believe in, because I could do the heart math work with them. I could do some mindfulness work with them. But once I get into this meditation space, you really need to believe in that higher source, whatever you want to call it is fine by me, that you need to reach that and bring it back. And so that's the one thing that really intrigued me about quantum physics, is that they talk about health from the perspective of reaching that consciousness and bringing it back to you. And how do you do that?
I love that. And so I'm assuming then, when you're talking about the quantum field, the modalities that we've just spent time discussing are the modalities that you encourage people to embrace, to tap in.
For heart math, you need to be embracing your higher vibrational feelings. So this is also key in quantum physics, is that I talked about the electromagnetic field, right? Well, the electrical part is your thoughts. Your thoughts are electrical. That electrical thought is going out to the quantum field of possibilities. What's pulling back in is your emotions. Your heart is the magnetic side, and we feel our emotions in our heart. And so if you think about that, now this is why just affirmations don't work, is because you can think that you want that Lamborghini or whatever it is you want, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling lack, if you're feeling like you don't deserve it, that Lamborghini cannot come back to you. Right. Yes, your thought is going out to the right place in the quantum field, but you've got to manage those emotions so that you're feeling gratitude for that Lamborghini already being in your life.
Yes.
And you need to feel that, and then it comes into your life.
That's a massive piece, Antoinette. I mean, that's the thing. When we work with, well, for me, when I work with clients and I hear their affirmations, that it's not just the negative, if they have an affirmation that has a negative word in it, it's if it's pulling them into that lower vibrational piece, right? Like it's, I need this, or I want this, or I am excited to have this, but I know that I don't right now. And if you hover in that, I know I don't have it right now, nothing else works, right? Like you're there. That's exactly where you're going to stay.
Yeah, you don't have it right against each other.
Exactly. Yeah. It completely cancels each other out. Yeah. So I want the Lamborghini because whatever it is, like as soon as you do the because or the but or whatever you're thinking, that little brain in the back of your head, the little voice, what is it? Mr. Scary Pork Chop. What did we name her?
Oh, I heard you do that.
Dr. Evil Pork Chop.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny when I heard that. I loved that.
Exactly. Yeah. So whatever Dr. Evil Pork Chop is telling us, we're like, silence that. We're getting the Lamborghini and we're done.
Well, and you said you're able to see if they truly are feeling the gratitude, not just saying that, yep, I'm doing the gratitude. You're able to see that when you hook them up to if they truly are feeling that gratitude, because it is a totally different level when you're truly doing it. And that's why I love that idea, Sean Aker, when he talks about a new gratitude, three new gratitudes every day. You can't repeat the same one.
Yes.
Let me tell you, that is probably for me has been one of the most powerful things, because when you're going through rough times, it's really hard to think of stuff you're grateful for. But when you're forced to do it, all of a sudden it's like you start noticing stuff that you just didn't even see before. And it completely changes your thought for gratitude. And you're not so pessimistic about stuff. Okay. And it's so interesting when I'm around people and they go to the dark side first. And I'm always like, yeah, but what about this? Or look at the opportunity it created. And it's not about being Pollyanna. It's just about it's the coming from a place of gratitude. And so I think it's really important for people, for our listeners, especially for the people in that we coach, when we talk about affirmations, if your affirmations aren't working, it's because you're not feeling it with your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's a key thing. Because it's just like Natalie said, it cancels it out.
It does.
Wow. Yeah, it does. And I teach people to know whether it's coming from your heart, if you feel your heart opening up. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain. Once you feel it, you know that, and now you've got that anchor point to get back to that heart opening up. But once you feel that opening up, and I'll do a guided meditation to help them to feel the heart opening up. So I could do that with you guys right now if you wanted to do that guided meditation. But
I would love to. Let's do it. We've not done a meditation.
We've never done that.
Let's do it. I'm down. I'm ready.
All right. Well, so then you can close your eyes or not, and you know, whatever you want to do. And what do you feel comfortable with? Sit straight. Don't cross your legs and don't cross your arms, because I don't want any energy crossing and going weird ways. So
I stand.
If you're standing, you can stand.
Oh, I can stand. Okay.
You can stand. If you're more comfortable standing, go for it. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna stand.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know you were standing.
We both are. I know. That's we operate that way. We're usually at standing stations. But I do know how to stand and close my eyes. Walk and chew gum, maybe not, but I can stand and close my eyes.
But you can stand and you're all good. Okay. All right. Sounds good. So close your eyes and take a few deep breaths in, belly breaths. And as you're breathing in, I would like you to feel that breath going to your heart. You might want to put your hand on your heart to keep your concentration there. And now, as you're breathing in, I want you to see a flower, and that flower is in your heart. And as the flower opens up, it's reaching for gratitude, love, peace. And that gratitude, love, and peace is coming towards your flower. And as you're breathing out, the flower is closing, and it's bringing that gratitude, love, and peace into your heart. And again, as you're breathing in, the flower is opening, bringing in the gratitude. And as you're breathing out, that gratitude and the flower is closing and is bringing it into your heart. Do a couple more deep breaths. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Wow.
How did that feel?
Oh, good.
Amazing.
And it's interesting because when you said to picture a flower in your heart, when I was picturing it, I almost pictured it opening before you even said that it was opening, which was so interesting. I was like, huh, that's wild. And then you said that. I'm like, okay, because it's that breath. It just feels like you're opening up.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Did you see the gratitude? Did you see the light of the gratitude? And then as it closes, it brings it in.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I love that. And for our listeners, please do not do this while you are driving. your car. If you listen to this in your car, or if you're walking, stop.
Or operating any type of machinery.
Any type of heavy machinery.
Yes.
Don't do that. We maybe should have done that warning before.
That's okay. We can plug that in just in case you didn't know that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah, that's a really good plug-in. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that there are a lot of people that listen in the car. So just, don't operate your vehicle and do the meditation.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Antoinette, that was amazing. That was great. Yeah. And I think just that, like you said, the deep belly breathing, mm-hmm. like that is not something that I necessarily do all the time. And so I want to bring that into my tool belt as in terms of something, because it was, I just felt more of a shift and movement, especially when we were talking about the gratitudes and welcoming those into the meditation. That was huge.
I used to have an Apple Watch and I got rid of it just because of the distraction all the time. But the one thing I loved about it is that every once in a while, it would vibrate and it would say, breathe. And I'm like, am I not breathing? But it would just do it on kind of a consistent basis. And so then I would just stop and I would just take some breaths. So I love that it does that kind of reminder, constant reminder. So that's one of the things that I think Apple Watch, I don't know if Fitbits do it, but what a great thing. So I don't know, everybody, maybe set an alarm, maybe set something that, or put something somewhere where it says, don't forget to breathe, and maybe just take a space and just take that breath. Because what I notice is if I get stressed, I will kind of almost stop breathing. You know, not like I just get really shallow breathing and I'm just like, oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. And so when I would get that, I'm like, did I stop breathing? I was like, oh my gosh. And I don't think I did. I just think that my watch was like, all right, something's definitely going on that we're noticing. You need to take a pause and breathe. So I love that exercise. That was beautiful.
And you can do it with your eyes open if you're not wanting to do an actual meditation. Whenever you're taking that deep belly breath, imagining that flower opening up and then bringing that gratitude in your heart is going to actually help you calm you so that you can move over to that parasympathetic side, I believe, faster. And so it means that I'm helping people to hopefully understand as well what it feels like when your heart is opening up.
It gives a visual representation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of trying to envision the scientific heart opening.
Right.
That's harder to witness.
Exactly. I realized when we were talking about the heart opening, I'm like, oh, I don't want them to see it, you know.
Yeah. This is a better visual to leave them with, I think.
I prefer your visual anchor. I think that's great.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And my eyes were closed, so I don't know how much time we spent, but just in that moment, just that meditation that you took us through, I think just in that moment, I can feel a difference. I feel an energetic shift. And this is something that I'm intentional about pretty consistently throughout the day, where I am investing my energy and what's happening just in terms of my own field and where I like to say radiating. I don't know if that's the right term, but that's where I say, like, where I'm sharing my energy with the world. But I could just feel that shift in that slight meditation. It doesn't have to be in 90 minutes, you guys. That's what we're saying, in those small moments.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
To get back
I
to
don't recommend 90 minutes. Don't do that.
No.
I did it. Don't do it. Yeah. It's terrible.
And those of you that didn't hear, Antoinette almost fell out of her chair when I said 90 minutes.
Exactly. Okay, so how can people reach out to you? How can they get more information? And I believe you have a special offer for our listeners today as well. So I would love for you to share that as well.
I do. So my company is called Soaring to Source, and that's the source of your healing. So the website is s2snaturalhealth.com. And in there, you can see a lot. You can click on buttons. You can do a discovery call with me, which is free, to talk about your specific situation and how my program can help. But for the special offer, if you go to the Contact Us page, there is a radio button that says it Resilience One Video. And if you click on that and fill out the contact form, I will send you a free 5-minute video on one of the breathworks that I teach in my program.
Awesome. And we'll drop this information in the show notes so that everybody can access it. So you don't have to, didn't get it written down. But I encourage all of you, if this is something completely new to you that you've not heard of, I had not heard of heart math. I know about breathing and meditation and everything, but I learned a ton today. So if you want more information, if this is something that resonates with you and speaks to you, put your contact information in there, do that discovery call and see if you can start reigniting your resilience through some of these practices. So I love that you two met. I love that I really do feel like the universe is bringing people into Natalie's and my world that are allowing us to have just incredible guests that we're learning and growing from. And so hopefully our guests are as well.
I hope so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who knew what would have happened in the library in Parker, Colorado? I was excited about this episode and totally excited to hear more about your practice, Antoinette. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You basically, I feel that you just pulled back the veil to a lot of, one, the science, and now we have a better understanding in terms of heart math that as a modality and looking at mindfulness and meditation and breath work in a way that I didn't look at it and explore it before. And so I am absolutely intrigued. I will absolutely input my information to get the video because I am constantly looking to grow and have tools in my tool belt when I am faced with adversities, right? We're all navigating through this journey together. And so once we're able to recognize and control some of our stressors in life a little bit more frequently and get back into that homeostasis state, again, a term that I never used before today, I'm excited to do that. Yeah. And see how much of a difference we can make in this world. Because when we talk about how connected we are, I think it's important for collectively all of us to work on it together. So hopefully that's what everyone has taken away today.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending this time with us this afternoon. It's been an honor.
Thank you for having me on. It's been amazing. I love talking with you guys. You made this so easy.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Well, hopefully we'll have you back soon. We'll, you know, you keep us in the loop with what you're working on. We will make sure that we drop all of your contact information in the show notes. Antoinette, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And we will see everyone soon. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.